The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, to say thank you for all that you've done and for all that you continue to do in our lives. Father, we're just so grateful. We heard it said earlier that you've been better to us than we deserve, and you've been better to us than we could ever be to ourselves, regardless of what we think about ourselves. And Lord, we say thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the ultimate sacrifice. It was discussed earlier about how much can I give and what should I give. But Lord, you gave your best when you gave your only begotten Son to die upon the cross for the sins of all mankind. That included everybody in here and all around the world. Father God, we recognize that he didn't stay dead. Matter of fact, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But on that third day, you raised him up with all power in his hand. And for that, we say thank you. And as he ascended and the Holy Spirit descended, it's the same Holy Spirit that was there that raised up Jesus that now indwells us. That is, those of us who confess Jesus, received him as our Lord and Savior. Lord, in this period of remembrance, we're so grateful. Even now, this is a period before he even got to the cross. But Lord, we recognize that what he had to suffer through on our behalf. Lord, there's so much that we could say, and there's so many things that we could thank you for. But Lord, we just want to say thank you for life, the right to the tree of life, and life more abundantly. Father God, I thank you that even as I stand this morning, it is a privilege, it is an honor. We dare not take it for granted, dear God, the fact that we're even alive, that we're here. So Lord, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me, that you would be seen, and silence me, that you would be heard. Even now, touch somebody's heart. Even now, bless. Even now, heal. Even now, set free. Even now, deliver somebody who is bound. We love you today. It's truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Let every heart say amen. As the musicians continue to play, is there anybody here that's just thankful? Can you, as you stand to your feet, can you just mouth that? Come on, somebody. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Say thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh yeah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody know, can say, you've been so good. You've been so good. Yes, you have. You've been so good. Oh, you've been so good. And right now, Lord, anybody know, can you say, you've made a way financially, mentally, relationally, whatever it is, you've made a way. Oh yeah. When I didn't know if I was gonna make it through today, you made a way. Oh, you made a way. Oh yeah, 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 oh yeah. Can you say that again? Somebody, you need to believe that. Say, you made a way. Some of y'all didn't think you were gonna make it. You were gonna make it through the night, but he made a way. Oh, you made a way. You made a way. Just tell him thank you one last time. Say thank you for everything. For everything. Sickness, mental, relational. Oh yeah, thank. Took you in and he brought you out of some places. There's some stuff that folk don't even know, but thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Give God a hand clap of praise while you're on your feet. Give God a hand clap of praise. Give God a hand clap of praise. That's going to mean something to you in a minute. It's going to mean something to you in a minute. As we get ready to hear the word of God, it's going to mean something to you in a minute. It's going to mean something to you in a minute. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, 35 through 38. I'll be reading from the New International Version. I'm going to ask that you would just remain standing for just a few minutes, even as I introduce the subject. Amen, amen, and amen. It says that the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" The Newly Revised Standard Version reads this way. It says, "The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, 'Look, here is the Lamb of God.'" The two disciples heard him say this and they followed Jesus. But here, verse 38, for your hearing in the Newly Revised Standard Version, it says, "When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, 'What are you looking for?'" Said to him, "Rabbi," was translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" I believe the New King James asked that question in verse 38. It says, what do you need, or what do you seek? The question that Jesus asked here in John's Gospel chapter 1 verse 38 was asked some 2,000 years ago. But it's a question that's timeless. Matter of fact, it's a question that remains. And it's one that Jesus is still asking everybody who seeks to follow after him. So this morning, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, the Lord seeing you, the Lord seeing me, the Lord seeing us here today is asking, "What do you want? What are you looking for?" You may be seated in the presence of our God. Keeping this text in the culture and context in which it was written, I envision the Palestinian sun beating down on these two friends as they listened to John exhort the crowds to repentance. For the past few weeks, they had followed John everywhere he'd gone. They listened to his message and watched the crowd's reactions. At first, they were sure that he was the one that the prophets had pointed to, the one who would deliver Israel from the hands of the Romans. Sister Cargill, this guy even looked like a prophet. The long, wild hair, beard that reached down to the middle of his chest, and his eyes shone with a zealot's eyes. But as John preached, he said things like, "I am not the Christ." He said things like, "After me will come more powerful than I, one whose sandals I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie." Who would it be? Who could be more powerful than John the Baptist? And then that day came. Think about it. It was an ordinary day. Nothing really special about it. It wasn't Palm Sunday. Crowds weren't forming. It wasn't the day that Jesus was born in Bethlehem where the shepherds had come. It wasn't even the crucifixion when crowds gathered around the cross. It was an ordinary day. As a matter of fact, John was exclaiming, and then the Bible says that all of a sudden he saw Jesus passing by, and he says, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God." He was the one. He was the one that they had long been waiting for. The one who was going to change the world. This was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. And as you read the text, you just look at it, and it's as if they were so stunned that they just turned and followed him. Now remember, they'd been following John. John had been the one who they believed to be the prophet. Now the Bible says they turned and followed him. Again, keeping this into context, I began to think, Brother Miller, I imagine what they might have been thinking. They're following Jesus. And I imagine in their minds they're thinking, you know, he doesn't look that special. As a matter of fact, John actually looks more like a Messiah than this man does. But they didn't say a thing. For the text doesn't say that they said anything. I'm simply trying to just think what they might have been thinking. The text says simply they just followed. Again, Sister Stephanie, in my mind, I was absorbing the text as I sat there, and I was stuck there. Again, in my mind, I wondered if they were wondering what they should do next. I mean, what should they say? How should they approach this him, big H now? And then it happened. He turned around and he saw him follow him. And he asked them a question point blank. What do you want? What are you looking for? Remember, that's still the question that we must answer today. I mean, think about it. You got up, the Lord woke you up, you got dressed, got in your car, made the effort to drive and get to church. So now you're here, whether you want to be or not, stumbling through the door or not. And Jesus has turned and he's looking at you and he's looking at me. He said, you here now? What do you want? What are you looking for? Jesus wanted to know what these two men wanted. Why were they following him? And what were they looking for? Notice, watch the text. Notice, he didn't ask, who do you want? Teach, Holy Ghost. But instead, he asked, what do you want? Remember, when God was talking to Adam in the garden, he asked Adam, he said, Adam, where are you? Where art thou? Remember, Adam wasn't lost to God. God knew exactly where Adam was. That question was for Adam to answer about Adam. And it wasn't a question about his position. It was his condition. Jesus has turned and he's asked these two disciples, just what do you want? You got to watch the text, keep it in the context. You got to understand that there's humanity and deity all wrapped up in one. So when Jesus is asking the question on one side, he's saying, you've been following John. Now I see you following me. What do you want? But the other question he's asking them for themselves. What do you want? I mean, were these legalists? I mean, think about it. Jesus had all kind of folk following him. Had all kind of people in the crowd he'd been dealing with before these two. So were they legalists? Those who wanted to maybe indulge in a conversation about the law? You know, the Pharisees. You do believe that Pharisees are still around today. Come on, somebody. I mean, you know the ones. The ones that if Christ returned tomorrow, they would proudly tell him, you know what, Jesus? We didn't let anybody call themselves a Christian if they weren't Baptists. They would say, we didn't let anybody call themselves a Christian if they weren't Presbyterian or Methodist or Church of Christ or Church of God in Christ or Pentecostal or Apostolic or Holiness. Or the biggest denomination known as still growing is non-denominational. Jesus, we didn't let anybody call themselves a Christian if they weren't this or that. And you know what, Jesus? Not only that, we didn't let anybody call themselves a Christian if they smoked, whether cigarettes, cigarette weed, or cigars, hookah, all of it. And not only that, Jesus, we didn't let anybody call themselves a Christian if they drank. Come on, somebody. Care what the libation was, light or heavy. You know what else, Jesus? We didn't let anybody call themselves a Christian if they cussed. They wore their hair too long or too short. Dressed too tight, too short. Wait a minute, it's not just them. Suit too tight, too short. Come on, somebody. We didn't let anybody call themselves a Christian. They had any body art, any tattoos, however big or small, whether we could see them or not. Reverend. We let anybody call. I'm talking about Pharisees. I might not be talking about you, but y'all know there's Pharisees in the church. We let anybody call themselves a Christian if they went to the movies, huh? Danced, listened to any kind of this secular music, or had any fun at all. Jesus. You best believe them kind of folk follow Jesus. And he wants to know, what do you want? Huh? What you looking for? Or maybe, Clark, they might have just been ambitious time servers. What are you saying, Pastor King? They might have just been after power and position, seeking to use God for their own means. And they'd follow whoever they had to follow. Come on, somebody. For personal gain, teach Holy Ghost. Or perhaps they were just humble men of prayer, looking for a light to point them toward God and a higher calling. Or then again, maybe they were just puzzled, bewildered sinners who were stumbling along through life and were looking for a light on the road. Whatever and whoever they were, because we like to label folk whatever. We like to make folk whoever. You know them folk, whoever it is. But whatever and whoever they were, Christ recognized that one thing, and that was the fact that they wanted something. And however noble or not, however decent or not, however genuine or not their motives were, Lampkin, they wanted something. They were after something. And my brothers and my sisters, from the pulpit to the door, as we come to Christ, even some over 2,000 years later, we have to recognize the truth of the matter is that everyone who comes to Jesus is looking for something. Good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. The fact is, you are looking for something. Each and every one of us, not just here up under the sound of my voice, on this side of time, each and every one of us is striving for something as we plod through life from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. Every one of us is searching for some meaning or some purpose, direction, amen. And we find ourselves at times asking that big question of life, or maybe those big questions of life. Is there more to life than this? Does anything that I'm doing matter or contribute to something bigger? Teach, Holy Ghost. What does it mean to be truly happy? What do I really need to be truly happy? Is it this? Is it that? Is it him? Is it her? Is it this or whatever? Or, you know, and we get like to talk in the church. Well, you know, you're happiest when things are happening. Okay. Then what does it mean to be really content? And ultimately, the biggest question some of us might be asking is, what does any of this really mean? Oh, yes, you best believe Those types of questions that arise to the surface of our thoughts and our imaginations, and they come up especially when stuff happens. Especially when you get sick. Maybe close to your death. I'm talking about sick. I would say I'm not talking about the common cold or flu, but the flu is taking folk out these days. But you know what I mean when I'm talking about sick. I'm talking about sure enough sick. I'm talking about when something is hurting, when something is wrong, when something is going on in your body and you're not sure what it is, but you know something's not right. And so you go to the doctors and they begin to run tests and they're not sure either. You best believe questions start coming up. Your imagination starts to run rampant. Or maybe if it's not sickness, I'm talking about when disaster strikes, when trouble comes your way. Maybe even when death comes to a family member, friend, or loved one. Or simply, during those times when we take the time to be still, or we're forced to be still. And we have to silence the distractions and the noise. And your mind begins to work. What does any of this really mean? What am I really doing that makes a difference? Gotta ask you a question. If Jesus was to tap you on the shoulder right now, and he asked you, what are you after from me? What do you want? What are you looking for? What would your answer be? You don't want to say it out loud? But if he tapped you on the shoulder right now, came down your pew, what do you want from me? I mean, you showed up to my house. You sitting in my house. Who you looking for? Looking for a neighbor? Looking for so-and-so so you can say so-and-so was or wasn't at church? What do you want from me? Now, if you hadn't thought about it, perhaps this time that you thought about it, I mean, what do you want? What are you looking for? Watch the text. Because I love the honesty and the authenticity of the response of the disciples. I mean, perhaps they were caught off guard. Perhaps they were surprised or startled by the directness of the question. Because all they can get out of response is simple, where you stand. What? That's why you following me? That's what you want? You want to know where I'm staying? You ever had somebody that they just go, you're like, what you want? Trying to get your attention? What you want? You know, and sometimes, you might get that question. I know I'm saying it. What's for dinner? That's all you want? You don't want nothing then. Where are you staying? I mean, what do you want? I mean, be honest. If it's material blessings you want, at least be honest enough to admit it. I mean, didn't Paul say in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? At least be honest. He asked you what you want. I mean, you've been knocking at his door. Maybe it's healing that you're looking for. I don't know. I mean, Mark 3 verse 10, the Bible says, for he had healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. I mean, you'd be foolish to be sick and see people being healed and not want to be healed as well. Here's the problem. The problem is, Sister Miller, is that about the only time Jesus hears from us is when we want to need something. Huh? I mean, I got a right now bill that needs to be paid right now. So, I mean, ain't no sense of me waiting to pray and I need the bill now. I'm praying right now. Huh? Got a right now need. Y'all been singing all of we got our own time, God. Problem is, that's about the only time Jesus hears from some folk. When they're sick, or the children are sick, or the family members are sick, I mean, they remember then. Jesus healed the sick, and then they begin to pray. And the people they ain't spoke to in weeks or months, they'll hit you up then. They say, do me a favor, can you pray for me? Pray for me. I need you to pray for me. Or and now it ain't just hitting you up on, now they need to go through social media and they'll ask me to put on an e-prayer chain because they want everybody in the world to know I got a need and I need you to pray. Kind of reminds me of the story. Two gentlemen who were talking about that day after a hurricane come through, and one said to the other, he said, we had quite the storm last night. To which his friend replied, he said, yep. God probably heard a whole lot of unfamiliar voices last night, too. Brought my phone to the pulpit because I had written that. I remember I've been out for a while. I've been meditating. But I had written that, and I had to put that down, and then the storms came through last night. And amazingly, I took a phone or a screenshot of WCPO 6:15 this morning, and it simply says, prayers, pillows, and mattresses. For some, that was the only protection as what sounded like a tornado blasted through Brown County overnight. Prayers, pillows, and a mattress. That was the only protection. Now, I'm not here to make light of that because I believe in prayer. I believe that you really can't do any more or less than pray. And sure enough, when trouble comes, you need to be in prayer. But when I wrote that, I was writing it introspectively. And I was writing it reflectively. And I began to think, Deacon Fitzgerald, I said, wow, it's just unfortunate that some people only talk to Jesus when it's storming in their lives. Again, don't get me wrong. I believe in going to God for blessings, material or otherwise. I believe in that's the one you want him to come from. He said every good and perfect gift. Folk can give you gifts, but every good and perfect gift comes from above. So I believe in going to God and asking for my blessings. Amen. I believe that Jesus healed people over 2,000 years ago, and I believe he's still healing people now. But he didn't come only to give us material things or to simply heal our bodies. He came to save us. He came to heal our souls. Again, introspectively and reflectively, I began to wonder, Deacon Griffith, I wondered how God must feel when we never have time for him until we need a favor. The one thing that you and I should never, ever forget, we love to talk about it, he's a healer. And then you got folk that say in response, yes, he is. He's a keeper. And then in response, you know, we don't know nothing. Yes, he is. The one thing we should never forget, we talk about the accounts in the Bible where there's material blessings and certainly of healing, And whenever you talk about Jesus in the accounts of those he healed, is that everybody he healed eventually died. Didn't mean they didn't get the healing, but everybody he healed eventually died. The only forever healing that Jesus offers is the healing of the soul. Your soul salvation. Yeah, you might get sick. You might even be sick right now. But if it's well with your soul, come on, somebody. Your finances, your marriage, your relationships might be messed up. As a matter of fact, it seems like they're getting worse. But if it's well with your soul, get through some of this stuff. You might not have a job. Matter of fact, you might have a job that you don't even want right now. Some of y'all even looking for doing something different, better, just because you're still hoping and praying for one to come. But until it comes, regardless of if it comes, if it's well with your soul, you might not have the perfect mate. You might not have the perfect son or daughter. Matter of fact, when it comes to children, children act up. Come on, somebody. Quit labeling your child bad. Children do bad things. That don't make them. Be careful, because they'll live into that label. But and it's not just your child. Children act up. They do things that might disappoint you. You did things that disappointed your parents. Come on, somebody. But if it's well with your soul, if the reason you come to church each Sunday is because of what people would say if you didn't come, or if you were hoping that people would say, you went to church today, you're a good person. Whether it's the 9 o'clock, the 11 o'clock, the afternoon, or the evening. And you know how those conversations go. Did you go to service today? I sure did. What service did you go to? Well, I went to the 9. Well, I went to the 11 because I didn't see you. So, you know, some folk, they just figure, I don't want to miss being counted. So they go to all 4 of them. They go to all 4 and they proudly say, child, I've been in church all day. But what you been there for? What you want? What you looking for? Think you're going to get a special covering, a special blessing? As I get ready to close, the text says, the next day, John was there again. He was there with his 2 of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the 2 disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? Allow me to transliterate somewhat for February 25th, 2018. That Sunday, the pastor was there again with the disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. But turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, what do you want? When it comes right down to it, the brass tacks or where the rubber meets the road, the only answer to the question is, to what do you want is, Jesus, I only want to love you, serve you, worship you, and glorify you. No more. No less. But whatever your response, however you phrase the answer to the question, because you best believe every day we're getting asked the question. For some of us, we just haven't come back with an answer yet. But whatever your response is, regardless of your color, your background, your heritage, all of those things, regardless of those things, whatever your condition, remember, however you phrase it, be prepared that when he asks you the question and you give him the answer, he's going to come back with a response. Because in verse 39, he said, come. The same response that he gave the disciples over 2,000 years ago, he's going to give you today. So whatever it is you're praying about, whatever it is you're talking to God about, he says, come. Whatever your condition, whatever stage of life you are in, you must come to Jesus. And he's still bidding that today. You can't get stuck on coming to church. And especially if you're coming for the wrong reasons. You can't even get stuck on coming to Bible study, coming to Sunday school, especially if you're coming for the right reasons. He said, I hear all that, but come to me. And everything you're praying about, everything you're seeking, everything you want to know, he says, I'll show you. Come and see. And then and only then can you peacefully and joyfully sing the words of that hymn, it is well with my soul. As a matter of fact, stand. I want you to read the words together. It's not about singing it. I just want you to read it. It says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, say it. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, lest his blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, it's nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well with my soul. What do you want and what are you looking for? The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.